Hear the word for our meditation this day. From St. John's Gospel, the words that we heard read here this morning, I'm just going to read a couple verses. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And jumping to the end, as St. John summarizes this chapter with these words, nevertheless, many, even the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of your going to the cross, your journey to Jerusalem, your journey to the cross, Lord, you continue to perform miracles. You healed the man born blind. You raised Lazarus from the dead. You performed many miraculous signs, and those who believed in you, many stayed quiet. Many were there as people took off their garments and took palm branches and sang, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. And yet they remained silent, because they wanted the glory of man rather than the glory of God. Lord, as we journey to the cross this week, as we journey through this Holy Week, may we ask ourselves, do we want the glory of man more than the glory of God? Do we want to see God's name glorified? Are we bold to proclaim the truth that you are the one and only way to salvation? Lord, help us to discern how we can be bold so as to confess your name. The name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you look around and see what was happening on Palm Sunday, on the Passion Sunday, the beginning of Passion Week, it's not hard to understand why people were thinking of God's glory. Not hard to understand why they were thinking about God's glorious power as people were racing out to welcome Jesus as King, as Lord, as Savior. It's not hard to understand why people would be thinking, oh, God is being glorified. Yet even in the midst of this, Jesus prays, and his soul is overcome because he recognizes that even though they are praising him and asking and calling him Savior and Lord, that he is on his way to the cross. He knows the end of the story. He knows what it's going to take. And he knows that he will humble himself and become obedient even to death, death on the cross, as St. Paul, we heard in Philippians chapter 2. He knew that he was going to be humbled. He knew that he was going to endure pain. He knew that he would be turned over. So it's not hard to understand why most people were basking in the glory of the moment when he says, Father, glorify your name. And God does something that we don't see often. We see it at his baptism, right? We see it at the Mount of Transfiguration. And we see it here. He breaks into this world and voices the truth. What does he say? Yeah, isn't that awesome? It is. What does he say? He says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And brothers and sisters, may we be open to receiving that word from God by the power of his Holy Spirit, because he wants to glorify his name in us, through us, and around us, right? And I hope that we'd be open to hearing it, because what did the people who heard it say? Some said, well, it thundered. You ever notice that? What people say when something they don't really feel that comfortable with, what do they say? It was just a coincidence. Heard that word? Do you really believe there's such a thing as coincidence? I don't think so. I think there's divine appointments. I think there's all kinds of things. I don't even believe in luck. Somebody said, luck is simply God being anonymous. I don't believe in it. I believe that God has a plan, and I believe that God is active and alive and working in people's lives and desperately wants us to take opportunities that he gives us to use them for his glory. And yet I feel that in the Western church and in the modern church, what we've done is we've kind of made God kind of like Santa Claus, you know? I need something, I want something, and so God, give it to me, I'm a good person. I've been a good little boy or little girl, and I deserve it. Is that the way we look at God? No? You're not like that? Good, you're so good. You guys are just amazing. But the world around us, that's the way they treat God. It's like, you know, I'm good, therefore I should, right? Yeah, I'm good, therefore I should. And it's really disappointing because they aren't acting that much different than those people, those authorities, who knew from the miracles and from the voice that Jesus is indeed who he says he is, because John paraphrases the whole chapter 12 by saying, even some in authority believed in him. Think about that. Even some who were in authority, meaning they were the people who could speak out and who people would listen to, even they believed in him, but what did they do? They kept quiet. They kept silent. Every time I read Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I like, he's one of my favorites. Every time I read Dietrich Bonhoeffer and hear about his end to life, I think to myself, why didn't more people speak out? Why didn't they? Because of fear. Nothing's changed really, has it? History just keeps repeating itself. Because just as they threatened the parents of the man born blind, remember that? Jesus healed him. And the parents were called upon the Pharisees were asking them, is this your son? Was he born blind? And how did he get healed? And they didn't want to answer him. They said, ask him, he's old enough. Because they were scared of getting kicked out of the synagogue. They were scared of getting persecuted. And the same thing happens here. Even the authorities, after they hear God's voice, as they see the people rally, and as they see all the stuff happening, they still don't confess Christ. And I just love the way that, and it goes along with the whole message that John has here. It's all about God's glory, right? It's all about God's glory. Everything that's been happening, the miracles, what Jesus has been saying, how he's been teaching, what he's been doing, even Lazarus, is all for whose glory? God's glory. That's how come Jesus summarizes by saying, Father, may your name be glorified. Because he knows it's all for God's glory. Everything that's going to happen is for God's glory. He's asking that God's name will be glorified. And God answers it by saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And then at the end of this gospel chapter, in chapter 12, John summarizes like this. They cared more about the glory of man than the glory of God. I'll tell you something. When I read that, and I've read this many times, studied it many times, but for some reason, this last time as I was preparing, I really got convicted. I got convicted because last weekend I was at a conference, and there were many times where I heard stuff that was just wrong. Plain and simply wrong. It's a World Peace Conference, people from all different religions, backgrounds, everything. University of Michigan. That ought to speak volumes. Anyways, you know, it was there. And I heard things that were just wrong. Just wrong. And I kept thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? So finally, under conviction, because I recognized that what I was doing was trying to get the glory of man, not the glory of God. Under conviction, I went to this one elective, and it was called Islamophobia. And I thought, being at Eastern, we've had kind of a few of these things with writing on the wall and different things that I thought were racist, and so Islamophobia is kind of an issue here. And so I thought, well, this will be helpful. And I walked in, and it was the opposite of helpful, because all it was the other extreme. You know how you have two extremes in every argument? You have the one extreme, which is way over on the right side, and you got the other extreme way over on the left side. I walked into this, and it was all just bias and conjecture and things taken out of context. It was just horrible. I spent most of the time thinking about my sermon, and praying because I thought this is horrible. And so I knew that, you know, I don't like to be disliked. I think you probably find this funny because, you know, you think when pastor who has to speak the truth, you know, in this day and age, when you speak the truth, people don't like it. And if you say it nicely, they don't like it. I want to let you know in advance, if you tell people the truth, even if you say it in the nicest possible way, they don't like it. They get angry. They get upset. They say all kinds of things about you. I've experienced this. This is not fun. And so I had to confess that I was feeling more like I wanted the glory of man and the glory of God. I was just going to let it go. But then somebody had this asked me this question. What did you think of the breakout? That was the class that I went to. Breakout session. Breakout session, yeah. And I said, well, I was nice. I simply said, you know, why is it that we either have one of two extremes? We have one that says, kick all the Muslims out of the country, get rid of them, convert them or whatever, do what they did during the caliphate. Or we got another extreme, which is, well, and this is what I heard at this in this session. Well, you know, America was really built on Islamic law, and therefore we should have Sharia. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. That's the two extremes, right? And all I said is, you know, I wish we could be in the middle someplace, because the truth is usually found in the middle. It's usually found in that middle ground, because isn't that the way the Bible is? Isn't that the way the Bible is? It's often not black and white as we'd like it to be. It's usually kind of gray. You know, as you're looking through the Bible, don't you find things kind of like, say what? We'd just like it if it was just really like, do this, do that, do this, do that. But it's not that simple. And that's where we find God. God is in the midst of things. And our struggle is, and I guess the challenge for that I'm offering you is, as we go through this journey and be coming here Monday, Thursday, we won't have a Seder meal this year because we had it on Friday, which is awesome. But we're going to have a Monday, Thursday service and then a Good Friday Tenebrae service. I'm challenging during this week of Holy Week to ask the question, when have I wanted glory of man rather than the glory of God? Like the apostles had to answer that. Remember when in Acts where they were drawn up in front of the Sanhedrin and they said, we must obey God rather than man. This is more subtle. When have I wanted the glory of man rather than the glory of God? When have I desired to be respected, looked up to, and receive glory, for lack of a better term, basically be lifted up for me as an individual, rather than for the glory of God? Because if we're ever going to understand Philippians chapter 2, where it says Jesus humbled himself, made himself nothing, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, taking on the form of a servant, humbling himself, pouring out everything he was as God to become that man for us, that sacrifice, that once and for all sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, to humble himself even to the point of the cross and death. When Jesus said those words and God responded, the thing that struck me was that he said, when I will be lifted up and I will draw all, who? All people to myself, right? Isn't that what he said? I will draw all people to myself. When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. In order for us to be lifted up and in order for us to receive the glory of God, which is what we want, what has to happen first? What did Jesus have to go through first? The cross. But even more so, what did he have to do? Be humbled. I'm just here to tell you, and I'm going to just say this because I got to close, but it's much easier if you humble yourself than let God do it. It's just a hint. I don't know if you've experienced this. I see some of you shaking your head. It's much easier to humble yourself and then let God humble you, because he will. If you say, your will be done in my life, guess what? You're going to be humbled. If you say, Lord, may I love your glory more than the glory of men, guess what? You're going to be humbled. Tested, yeah. Right? So may this week for us be a time of our humbling ourselves before the Lord, so that he will lift us up, so that we will receive the glory of God rather than the glory of man. And we will be humbling servants. I didn't put humbled servants or humble servants. I put humbling servants because it's a constant thing. Constant. But yet may we be so bold as to ask the Lord to help us to be humble, so that we can be lifted up, and so that his glory may be seen in what we say and do, so that he may be glorified, and then may we hear his voice as he spoke to Jesus, where he said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. May he be glorified in us, in his church, among his people, and throughout the world. Amen.